Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, JC Soto with Online Media 360. And today I have a best-selling author. He just published a best-selling book, Heart and Heart, and it shot up to the top of the charts on Amazon bestsellers. He's a fellow veteran, and I'm really excited to have him here with us today. His name is CJ Buck, and Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'm looking forward to, talking a little bit about the books and whatnot.
Yeah. Let's start by learning a little more about you, your background. I know you were in the service. You were in the Marines. Can you tell us as much as you can about who you were back then in the previous life before you start doing getting all these books out there?
Sure thing. Well, I was born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. Went into the Marine Corps in 1990 with all the intentions to just do 4 years and get out and go do, bigger and better things, but kind of got called to it and stayed to it. So I retired in 2010. I was a warehouse guy by trade. I was a supply guy. Did a couple deployments, was in Somalia and Iraq. But spent half my career entry-level training as a drill instructor. Did that twice, once at the recruit depot, Parris Island. And then I did about 4 years at officer candidate school in Quantico. And then I retired as one of the leadership positions at a supply school out of Camp Johnson near Camp Lejeune. I got two kids. One is 20 or almost 26. And she is in Vermont with my grandson, who is almost four. Wow. My son, who lives here in Colorado Springs, he's 27. He's not married yet, but there's hope. So other than that, I've been here in Colorado Springs since I retired and got a job working in government contracting, been doing logistics with that most of the time. Then I got within that, I was part of Air Force Base Command, learned a lot about how satellite communications work. One thing led to nine and ended up being a site lead out of Schriever, running a couple ground systems for some satellites. And not that I did it. That was for the smart people. I just, was in a leadership position, went to the meetings and dealt with that nonsense. But currently, I work from home for the same company, but work in the missile defense side of it. So doing the transition from intercontinental missiles, the Minuteman to the Sentinel. So that's my current stuff. And I'm engaged to a lovely lady named Victoria McCullough. And she is a personal trainer and nutritionalist. And she also works from home. So we get a lot of quality time together, good, bad, or indifferent.
So now you're in the Springs. Is that where your last duty station was before you got out of the Marines? Or
no, I retired at Camp Lejeune. And Camp Johnson, Camp Lejeune. And at the time, the lady I was with, her company wanted her to move out here. And so I decided to retire, pulled the trigger. We came out here, never been to Colorado, and just been here since 13 years. So going on, 13 and a half, I guess. But it's beautiful. It's nice. I'm not a outdoorsy guy outside of just taking care of my yard and riding my motorcycle, But living next to the oceans for so long, one or the other, or on an island at one point or two, it's kind of different, not having that, but the mountains are just as beautiful. So so it's nice.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm from Puerto Rico, so I grew up close to the ocean. I miss the water in the ocean and the sound of the ocean at nighttime. Yeah. So, I think being Colorado, we're so protected from everything else. Most hurricanes, tornadoes, and all the big stuff that happens to the to the other states. So, I think we're pretty blessed to be here.
Well, outside of a couple blizzards, but if you stay in place, you'll be okay.
Yeah, exactly. So this writing bug that you have, this writing talent that you have, Did this start when before you were in the service, or was that happen when you were in the service? When did this start?
Well, my sisters were both are both artists, right? And very, very talented artists. And I couldn't draw a stick person to save my life. So I was kind of thought about, you know, what it is that I wanted to do, you know, that was, you know, artistic in some sort of way. And my senior year in high school, we had a brand new English teacher, a brand new teacher in general. And one of our assignments for this class, English class, was write a poem. And I had written a couple different poems, you know, during that time frame. And when I turned this particular poem in, he just couldn't believe how unique it was and how, utilizing, you know, your metaphors and your metaphors and such, so forth. And he was the first person to ever told me that I knew how to write, you know, and or had some sort of talent with imagination. So I always appreciated that. And I really kind of need to look him up, figure out whatever happened to him. You know, it's been 30 plus years since I graduated high school, you know, so.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my sister, and I wrote this in my memoir, My Own Worst Enemy. And we can talk a little bit about that later. But in the acknowledgments, I talk about my younger sister. When I was early in my year, you know, a few years in the Marine Corps, I used to, you know, I told her, I was like, you know, I really want to write, but I just don't know what to write about. And she said, you know, write about yourself. I mean, just write your story. So I held on to that for, you know, 30 years, really. And I was not exactly the best writer when I was, you know, writing evals and things like that in the Marine Corps early on, but later it got better. By the end, I was well known to people who would come to me and help them with their remedial packages to get promoted, you know, to send in letters to different boards. I would help them write them. Basically, I would tell them to write it, then I would rewrite it and put it into, you know, Marine Corps naval lingo. And so I found a really good talent with that. And so I kind of prided myself in that.
That's good. So let me ask you something about My Own Worst Enemy. Sure. Is that your very first book that you put out?
It was. I put out this book in designs to work on my speaker. I wanted to become a speaker, a motivational speaker, somebody who could help others and to show people they had worth and value. You know, growing up, you know, I have, like everybody does, they get picked on here and there, but you know, I got picked on pretty hard for two or three different reasons. And you know, you get past that, you grow past that, but I've watched a lot of kids struggle over the years. So I wanted to help people get past their, you know, their own personal hangups. So I was talking to somebody and she told me, you know, well, you should write these things down. So I started writing it down, but I wasn't feeling right. So I said, you know, I'm going to start writing my story. And that's My Own Worst Enemy, which you can get on Amazon. You can follow my author page. It'll, you know, get you there easily. And I wrote, you know, from going on the school bus my first grade year to right when I retired from Marine Corps in 2010. And it's my ups and downs, my own bad choices that got me into situations that I was in, accepting responsibility for the things that I, you know, wish I would have made a better decision, but I didn't. So it is what it is. Here you are type of thing. So that was the start of it, was to write this book. That is a picture of me in the midst of a very challenging time. I was a smoker then too, which is horrible, but I was a heavy smoker, unfortunately, but so far so good. No issues there. Yeah, it was a tough times, and accepting responsibility for yourself and putting it down was a lot of therapy for myself, you know, because, you know, you blame and you blame and you blame. But then if you really look back and you say, you know, what it is that you could have done different, what part did you play in this issue? And I always tell people this when I give them advice, doesn't matter how old they are. When they're complaining about problems, I got so many problems and this, that, and everything, all my whole life, yada, yada, yada. And I say, well, what is the one consistent thing that every time you had a problem, who was there? And, you know, they think because they're stressed out, I say, you were there. So what part did you play? You know, so
You're the common denominator. You're there.
Yeah. So, but that's when it got started. And then in the midst of that, I put out a quote book called What Resonates, and the idea is what resonates with you. And these quotes are written by, you know, numerous people, numerous walks of life. Some are religious, some are not, you know, they're just motivational stuff. And then I wrote my perspective to, you know, to the side, you know, so there's one by Dr. Maya, Angelou. I've learned, you know, that people forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And then I wrote my, you know, my piece on how I felt about that, because it resonated with me. When I read that, it resonated with me. So I wrote these down and then I, you know, put it into a book.
So it seems like back then your readers, the people that you were targeting were more looking for that direction and inspiration and kind of guidance and also empathy. Let them know that this is not unique. You know, everybody has their challenges, hangups.
Right.
People pick on you. They make fun of you. Whatever it is.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, as a child in the Marine Corps, you know, like, why is he, you know, why is this captain not like me? Well, what did I do that could have, prevented that to happen, or whatever these situations, you know, realizing that, you know, you could do better yourself. So to take a, you can't go back and change it, but you can change how you act later, you know, it's your decision. So, but then, I didn't really, when I finished those two books, put them out there, released them, last year. And, I felt like, well, I could continue to write about my life. I could go back to any chapter and I could extend this book and make it into some sort of, you know, this thick, it's a dictionary all of a sudden. But I thought, you know, I put enough of me out there. But I was trying to think, what do I want to do next? I never felt like I was ever a fiction writer. But one day I was driving to my fiance's house when she lived, you know, on the other side of town. And the story of Hardened Heart came to me.
Let me stop you there, because this is going from, like, you know, going from inspiration to a real adventure. This Hardened Heart is really, you know, it draws you in. You know, you cannot put it down, because it's, you know, from the first page where you are with your buddy and goes all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's not about us as human beings anymore, but it's more us as being in this adventure and survival and all this stuff that, you know, we have inside. And, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, when they get into this kind of reading, you know, you immerse yourself. It's just like, time passes and you realize that you're halfway through the book and all this stuff that happens and you kind of feel it. So what was, you know, who were you trying to target on this one now, going from the inspirational and the motivational now to this epic adventure that you have in Hardened Heart?
Well, you know, it was an easy transition, but, you know, to go to fiction and write this story that I planned, and it's already in the works for the second book. But I write like I talk. So you could read any one of my books and you would feel like you're having a conversation with me. So if you felt like, you know, you didn't know my tone or how I spoke, all you got to do is read the main character. So I write it as, and I'm in a vision myself in this book as Colt and, Colt and his buddy Jason. They ironically met up in this, you know, after the, rapture occurred. It was a couple years later. They saw each other, couldn't believe it. And they decided that they want to go on Colt influenced them to go on an adventure. Let's go, you know, find if we can get redemption. It's a world of every dimension is now at the same level, same plane outside of, the highest dimension with God up, you know, way up high, but bring in, you know, the Book of Enoch as the baseline. So you have watchers and you have demons and you have, different levels and different kinds of demons. Angels, and I bring in vampires. Why vampires? And because if it was ever a folklore, It wasn't. That's the premise of the book, is there was never a folklore. They were all true. You just couldn't see them. You didn't realize they were actually there. So I laid out how you dealt with them and what kind of individuals they were, how you built relationships with some and some not. Next thing you know, they, you know, they're one side of the country to the next, and off, you know, found some resolve, but they haven't finished, you know, what they started. You know, and it was again a release, you know, of the past is within the book, because that's what hardened heart is. Somebody who is, and you find this, you know, and I'm not overly religious, but I'm spiritual and was raised Roman Catholic. So I'm very, very, you know, 12 years parochial school. I am pretty good about what's in the Bible and what's not, at least what they wanted us to see. Yeah. And, using the Book of Enoch as my baseline, which is not in the Bible, for different reasons. I was able to reference things in the Bible from that. And, I show how a hardened heart is somebody who did not get redeemed to go up to heaven after, during the rapture. Because even though you believe in Christ, you know, and you thought you lived this great, wonderful life, if you're still holding on guilt, remorse, and shame and anger, and, you know, and everything from your life, you just never let things go, you're going to stay just as well as somebody who is a, you know, capital murderer. You know, that's what I was trying to convey through this book. So,
and that's what is so, I think, magnetic about the book, that it's not just a battle outside, you know, mm-hmm. you're dealing with your own demons inside, right?
Exactly. And, it's realizing why you're there. And, you know, why you were stuck and losing all your family, all your loved ones. And I was very, very adamant talking about, you know, losing, you know, Colt losing his son, couldn't find him, couldn't find, you know, his fiance's kids either, just screaming across town, trying to go to the different places he thought they would be. And there's just nothing but chaos, confusion, and people are crying and screaming, you know, they're killing themselves. It was just, I, you know, tried to convey the heartache it was for the loss. And then realizing that you're stuck and you're going to have to learn how to deal with it. So there's a build up to that. And then, you know, building relationships with, you know, celestial beings that you didn't know you would ever, you know, so, it's good. It's in, you know, book two is going to do a little bit more explaining. And a lot of people have read it and they told me, you know, the first couple chapters, well, what, how did this happen? What's going on? I said, just keep reading. I explain things as you go along, because you can't be chapter one on the day of, you know, you know, of the rapture. This is what happened. And these are all the reasons why. This is what, that's not a story. You know, I mean, people want it. Think about it. Why do we get here? How do we get here? You know, so that's.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what's so great about your book is, your book is very, really, really different from all the other fiction books out there. I mean, there's so many angles, you know, from the inside to the outside. And, you know, it's like you said, you know, you got to read to find out how did this happen. It's just not, it's not like just a vampire or, you know, something, some creature. There's some different angles, you know, from the people involved to all the other beings and what's happening. Yeah. Also the whole rapture and everything else that happened. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It's just like, you know, you have to really immerse yourself, because there's so much stuff going on that you're aware that, you know, something's happening. Somebody is over here. It's just so much stuff going on that it's like
I have people like demons, you know, constantly, you know, tracking us, and we don't realize it. You know, and I bring in characters briefly, but I build these relationships with them, trying to understand why they're there, how they've accepted their reality. And you feel sorrow for them. You know, but then in some of them, you're like, whatever, you do you, you know, and I wanted that on purpose, you know, and I will do a little bit more character building and, outside of me and Colton and Jason, who was actually a personal friend of mine in real life. There's, you know, Jason's a real friend of mine. And, so we, you know, you know, so we talk and laugh and joke about it.
And you guys have the same relationship
in life. We have the same relationship. Yeah. In real life. I mean, this is, and anybody knows the two of us, that's how we banter all the time, you know. And of course, there's colorful language, You know, there's a couple sex scenes too, not with me and Jason, of course, but you know, that's funny in itself. And if he was here, I'd be like, don't tell him, you know, about that one time, you know, because that's how we mess with each other and we mess with everybody else around us. But, you know, and, you know, so it's not, and I wanted the book to be for adults. I initially was going to be like 15 and older because, you know, just the cover can draw in people like that, you know, who are interested in fantasy and fiction. But then, you know, putting the couple sex scenes in, between Colt and, one of the succubus, vampires. And I explained how that could happen and why it happens in the book. And I did my research. So if I mention an angel's name or a demon's name or how any vampire works, you can take it to the bank. It's what's written in that's how, you know, that these are actual demons and angels' names. That is their name in the Bible. And how, you know, how all that kind of falls together. But, you know, so like I said, the first one's kind of descriptive. The next one's not so much, you know, but, I was just trying to build up a passion, you know, that in humans still, you know, still need touch.
Yeah.
And that's so, just kind of, and I don't want to get too much away about it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, this is, you're going to have at least one more or two more after this one.
The intent is to have at least two more. It matters on how I wrap up the second book. You know, I believe I can. You know, I have a couple concepts that I haven't outlined, you know, in my head more than anything else. But when I do write, I sometimes sat down to write a chapter and I had no idea where I was going until I started typing. When I started typing, that's when it just started flowing. And that's why I believe it's a God's gift that I didn't know I had for all these years. You know, even writing, My Own Worst Enemy was the same way. I just was able to write. Now it's going off of memory, but this one comes off of heart. And, I believe it's good. I hope others think it's good.
I think it's great. And I think, you know, I don't think the talent is not being revealed too late. I think it was waiting for all these experiences to happen to be able to include in these writings. And have you had any challenges, like for this last book, you had any obstacles or things that were kind of hard to deal with in the mostly about writing? Any challenges that you dealt with?
The lessons I learned from my first book was hire a editor from the start. I had an editor on the first book, on My Own Worst Enemy, and it was somebody who knew how to read and write, understood grammar. It was not an editor. Big, huge difference. So I got hired an editor. She went through the entire book. We basically almost rewrote My Own Worst Enemy. So on the second book with A Hardened Heart, I hired an editor that he, from the start, me and him, as I wrote, I sent him a chapter. That was not a challenge, but it was a lessons learned from the other book. And, so once I got done, you know, through that, finished it up, and there was, you know, learning, you know, on how to deal with, you know, the Kindle, you know, self-publishing, there's a little learning curves here and there. But with assistance from the team that, I brought in, they made it, you know, as smooth as possible. And, you know, I can't think of any real super challenge on this one, outside of, let's get it out there and let's see what happens and, you know, hopes, dreams and prayers and see where it goes, you know, so.
Yeah. Congratulations. You were featured in what, some 420 online news media, including NBC, ABC, CBS, all the big names.
Yeah. A lot of big names, allowed, you know, radio stations, different local newspapers across the country, you know, did an article on it, a little bit about me, a little bit about the book. So that's real exciting. You know, put that out there on my own personal pages of Facebook and LinkedIn and things like that. And, you know, people were super excited to see that was happening, especially when I hit a number one bestseller.
Yes.
In Amazon, everybody was just like, wow, you know, and I said, yeah, so this is possible. Everything is possible. All you got to do is just say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do, and again, you can't do it by yourself. You got to bring in help, you know, yeah. And you got to bring in people who are knowledgeable in the industry to help, you know, set you up for success. Yeah. And if you think you can do it by yourself, good, you know, good luck. I hope the best for you. Call me if you got any questions. Yeah,
so, and you, and you also had the number one new release on your category. Yes. So that's really exciting too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in number three in a category and number 37 in a category. And that's out of hundreds of books, you know, so it's pretty great. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. So. Well, Jeff, I really, really, I mean, congratulations on your book and your media mentions. And I'm looking forward to the next couple of books that you're going to be publishing.
Yeah, thank you.
All your info, the link to the books and to your author page on Amazon is going to be below the recording. Any last words you want to leave my listeners with?
Well, you know, one of the things I tell with everybody is follow your heart. And I talked about that, and my dedication is for the kids that are out there feeling like, you know, they, you know, that nobody believes in them, you know, believe in yourself, you know, you're loved. Just want to thank my fiance, Victoria, you know, my kids, her kids, both, you know, my parents, Paulette Linzer and my father, I have the same namesake as Charles Jefferson Buck. I really appreciate them and everything they've done and supporting me over the years. And, you know, I consider myself, you know, incredibly lucky to have the life I live and, the friends and families, got a best friend, Scott Davis. I just throw him out there too. Me and him been friends since 1996 and we talk every day like schoolgirls. So, if you want to hear something,
that's a real best friend right there.
We're jokester too, boy. A lot of people don't get us, get our humor. we'll go right over your head, but it's a good time for us. So, but yeah, that's all I got. And I appreciate the time putting me on your podcast and hopefully it all, relays well. And, you know, people are excited and, you know, get my information and, you know, email me, talk to me, you know, send me a smoke signal. I don't beat a drum. Let's talk. We'll see what happens.
Do you want to leave your email address for my listeners? And I'm going to have it at the end of the.
Absolutely. But it's, you can email me at cjeffbuck21@gmail.com.
Okay.
You can find me on Facebook under Charles Jeff Buck or Charles Buck Author. They're both linked together. And I have an Instagram for my business. It is with_purpose_leadership. So everything you should do with purpose.
That's
my point there. So, we'll have it out there and I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds good.
To hear from anybody.
To my listeners, this is JC Soto with Online Media 360. Please go to Amazon, get Heart and Heart, and check out his other books because the other two books are great. And keep an eye out for what's coming next because he's going to have even more action and even more excitement to these books. And number one bestseller, had new release. She's doing it. So just please support CJ Buck and contact him on his email. And like I said, all his info is going to be just below the description of this podcast. Until next time, this is JC Soto with Online Media 360. I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.